Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. I'm so excited for today's episode. Dr. Toni and I are together, and it's our 100th episode. I can't even believe it, Toni. Can you?
Woohoo! Not hardly. But I'm so glad we made it to this point, Lisa. It's been so fantastic.
Me too. I love working with you. And I know when we started off, it seemed like such a journey, right? Like a big hurdle to get this launched and going. And we launched in January 2020 before the world changed with the pandemic. And it even took almost, I think, a year of planning, right, Toni? There were so many steps involved, but we got going and then the pandemic happened, but we knew we had to keep going because not only, you know, does it fill our cups up, I think, right? We get to talk to amazing experts and learn a lot ourselves about parenting. We dive deeper into health topics and do even more research on topics that we already know about. And then I love chatting with you, Toni. We have so much fun and we've really rekindled our friendship because we hadn't chatted for how many years? Where are we now from graduating from school?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I think it had been probably at least a couple of years since we actually saw each other in person, too. And, you know, it's one of those things when you're a busy mom, you know, you don't necessarily connect with your friends and your community as much as you'd like to. So I love that we have this opportunity to get together every week or two to talk, to connect, and to be able to share with all of you listening about different topics that really mean something and are make a difference for your life as you're going through this wild time of the pandemic and this wild time of perimenopause.
Definitely. And throw parenting in the mix and whoa, it's like the perfect storm.
Absolutely.
So a big shout out to all of you out there dealing with a pandemic, dealing with kids, trying to eat healthy, trying to do all the things. Let's just all pat ourselves on the back right now. Take a few deep breaths and we're going to share the top highlights of the last 100 episodes. There was too many to narrow down, but we really tried to narrow it down to 5 to 7 highlights for each of us. Right, Toni?
Yes, it was tough to really think about it, especially, again, we have 99 episodes to look back on.
Yeah, it's a lot. But we'll link to the ones that we're talking about. And we're going to have another part kind of celebrating the 100 episodes where it's like what we've learned about perimenopause and hormones, kind of a nice summary again, because we haven't actually dived deep into what's happening during this transition period. If you didn't listen to one of our earlier episodes where we talked about it, and we do cover it, you know, in the episodes that are applicable to that, but we're going to do a good recap on what's actually going on and things to help you transition and get through it as easily as possible too.
Absolutely. So stick with us and that'll be, you know, very much in the near future. You know, we are so grateful to be able to have this platform to share with you and to talk all things perimenopause and parenting and hormone roller coasters, relationships. You know, we really appreciate all of you and your support. And we now have a new way for you to support us and this podcast so that we can keep going. We would love for you to visit Patreon and support us at any level that makes sense for you. You can support us with $5 a month or with $20 a month. And that level gives you access to our live monthly webinar with a Q&A. So see the link in the show notes and go support us as you can.
That would be great. Yeah, we're really celebrating you guys today and we love doing this and we want to keep going. And as we were preparing for this episode, we talked about some highlights of the year, kind of lessons we've learned. So I think, you know, some big lessons for me before we go to specific lessons from podcasts is that consistency is key. We do know this for our health and our habits, right? What we do the majority of the time, and it may be small steps like having a glass of water when you wake up or getting to bed 15 minutes earlier. But this is where the magic happens. This is where, you know, your energy starts to blossom. This is where you have the vitality to start to work towards those dreams or goals that you have. And for us, being consistent with the podcast was key. That's why we're here at 100 episodes. You know, there was times with the pandemic and having the kids home where it felt like too much, but we made it work. It wasn't perfect. That's another key lesson, I think. You know, before having Stuart, I was a bit of a perfectionist. Everything had to be clean. And I was joking with Pete this weekend because I'm like, wow, I've really let like cleaning go kind of in the opposite direction. So I'm trying to hone back in on that. But, you know, not being perfect either. You hear us make mistakes. You know, hear us slip up a little bit, but that's okay. We're doing it. We're real people. The kids are popping in the background sometimes, but that's how we get things done, right? I don't have to have everything scripted and we just do it. It's my good enough mantra. You know, we still want to put our best foot forward, but if it doesn't work out exactly the way we expect it to, that's okay.
Absolutely. You know, Lisa, it's definitely something that I've struggled with, and it's something that I continue to work on, that idea of, oh, I can't put this out. I can't complete this. It has to be perfect. And if it isn't perfect, then it's not going to get done. And that can be a huge piece around some of my procrastination that I am working on. And so I love this exercise and this practice for us to have that good enough and get it done. And also what really is key for me, and we talked about this around, oh, I'm already jumping into episodes that made a difference for me, but looking at the Four Tendencies episode around habits, where I really find that it's corny, but teamwork makes the dream work. It's really true. And being able to collaborate and work with you and have you as my partner in this podcast has really made a difference too, Lisa.
Definitely. No, that's a good episode to listen to. If you have trouble, you know, sticking to habits, you know, kind of what to do, but you're not doing it. And then learning how to reach out and ask for help, right? I think that's really key for all of us. And even kind of in the same vein, another episode that I love doing was the episode 59 about menstrual cycle awareness, right? Because we need to recognize as women, even if your cycles are irregular or you're not getting them, there's going to be times of the month when you're going to want to commit and push and work really hard, but there's going to be times when you need to rest and rejuvenate. And if you try to push through those times, you may end up making mistakes and actually making more work for yourself. Because we know, you know, if you're menstruating around the time that you have your period and leading up to it, you're going to be best suited for more analytical and inward work, reflection, not as much, you know, doing a podcast recording or doing presentations or networking. And then around that ovulation time or the full moon time for some people, if they're not getting a period and they're menopausal, that can be the time where you're more magnetic. Your hormones are at their peak level. So this is a great time to network, to socialize, to ask for that raise, to ask your partner for what you need, because you're more likely to get those because of that magnetic quality to you. So that's something I'm really working on. And it's not possible every month, right? If you have your period and you still have to do a presentation or you have a huge project to complete, you still might be burning the candle at both ends, but recognizing, okay, it's going to take a little bit more energy and effort, and having some grace and ease with yourself and, you know, allowing yourself to feel a little more tired. And maybe it's not going to look like you thought it was going to, but being okay with that too. So I think that's been a huge lesson for me, is that recognizing my energy and my output is going to ebb and flow. And that's okay, not to fight against it and be mad at myself for it, but recognize I'm going to tap into an optimize those times when I'm at peak performance to be even more productive, in air quotes, if you will.
I love that. That episode on cyclical living, I think, is so key for women, and a new concept that we've had, especially when you think about society and culture and how, you know, it's going from day to day, week to week, and really tapping into the cycles that we have as women, not only around our menstrual cycle, but also the moon cycle, is really interesting. And absolutely, it's something that I'm becoming more aware of and also working on as well.
Yeah. And even the seasons, right? Like right now we're moving into late fall, we're going to be going into early winter. We're not going to have the same bandwidth and even creativity to put into things, and recognizing that's okay too.
Absolutely. It's one of those pieces of really looking at expectations and this idea of letting go of what we should be doing or what we think we should be at, or the level that we should be at as well. And that was also something that really came to mind when I was speaking to sexologist Dr. Trina Reed in episode 23. This idea of, you know, connecting with our partners and our sexuality, and that idea of how things can shift, how things can change, but also really looking at really setting yourself up for positive triggers around sex. It was really interesting that she showed that research around sexual desire is similar to happiness. And for most women, in order to feel sexual desire, we really need to be triggered, and really being proactive to, and you know, that I can start to ask myself, what can I do to help myself to feel more sensual? How do I get, you know, bring my body back to a place where I feel more centered and sexual and kind of get back into the groove? Especially in the pandemic, it can be really tricky because, as Dr. Reed was talking about, you know, our bodies can only produce either cortisol or stress hormone or testosterone. And even as women, we need testosterone. Testosterone is our sex drive hormone. So if we're producing our stress hormone, cortisol, we can't necessarily produce testosterone, and that can impact our sex drive. So, you know, some tips that she shared around taking that on would be, you know, taking a bath, listening to music, giving yourself some time alone. And also something that really made a difference for me was the idea of just making up your mind to connect with your partner, just choosing to do it, scheduling it in, penciling it into the schedule, even if it feels forced at first. And that can make such a difference. It's one of those things where the more you do it, the more you want to do it. So that definitely made an impact on me and really looking at sexuality and sexual health.
Yeah, we know that's so key to not only our mental health and but also our physical health, reducing, you know, blood pressure, supporting happy hormones. So those are all great tips, Tony, because a lot of times we, you know, we feel like, okay, I just have to be in the mood because now it's Friday night or this is the time. So let's just jump in. But it's like, what can you do to prime yourself for that? So it's not feeling like a chore if it does for you, you know, you're not in the mood, but having that bath, listening to that music, really scheduling that time to connect. And I think she even talked about just like gently giving, you know, giving each other a massage to start. Like there's different ways to stay connected without actually having intercourse in that second, right? You can build up that attraction too and that connection in other ways. So I think that's so useful because as a lot of burnt out mamas out there, it's so hard to prioritize that and get into the mood.
Absolutely. And I love the conversation around, you know, what is sex? Because for a lot of us women in heterosexual relationships, the idea of sex is penetrative sex and intercourse, but that's not all that sex is. So really looking at that idea of what do you want? What feels good for you? And yeah, does it always have to be about orgasm, or can it be about cuddling or massage or that kind of thing? So yeah.
I love it. I think that's so key. And that brings me to the two episodes that Allison Vila, relationship expert and psychotherapist, was a guest on. She was on episode 17 and episode 82. And she talked about the four seasons, different seasons that couples go through. And this was eye-opening for me to recognize that there's these different stages and you're going to have different styles of communication or ways to connect based on what's happening in your life. So for example, a lot of people were in the coping season when the pandemic started. So, you know, the pandemic, having the kids home was taking up most of your time and energy. So that was the major focus. Just getting through the day and surviving was key. So during this time, it's like even carving out 5 minutes a day just to check in with your partner can be so valuable, because sometimes you're just not even communicating during times like these. You want to recognize that you're not going to be able to do everything that you used to do. You might not have a date night every week, but maybe that would be once a month now, or a date half an hour when the kids are having their nap. So it's really about communication and not assuming anything. You know, if you know what your partner's thinking, that can be a big downfall during this season. So, and then, you know, couples can move into the coasting season, where you come out of that coping season. So people may be in this now. We're still in a pandemic, but, you know, in air quotes, it's the new normal. But here you might be reintegrating as a couple, but you still need to really put the time and energy into your relationship because, you know, you went through this fragile coping period. So you want to support each other, even just making sure each other is getting their self-care time, right? Like, is your partner getting what they need to fill their cup up? Are you getting what you need to fill your cup up? And you might start to, you know, have a bit more time together and start to reconnect a little bit more. But the ultimate goal are the next two stages, which is the connected phase, where you actually, so not only are you living your day-to-day together and spending time together, but you're actually starting to dream big. Like, you're thinking about, what do we want our life to look like as a family 5 years down the road? Is this where we want to be living? Where do we want to travel? What are our values? What is our spiritual vision? Can you mix up or change anything if things aren't working? So instead of just surviving, you're looking at how can we thrive? So I love Allison Vila. She has a couple sandbox program and she goes through different exercises where you can start to question what you want out of your life in different realms. With the ultimate goal after being connected is to be in confidence. So you have all of your dreams figured out and you have actionable steps to reach them. But then this is fostering more about your intimacy or your intimate life. So how can you connect more on a spiritual, emotional, physical, and sexual level? So these were really eye-opening episodes for me, because a lot of times couples just go through life, right? You have the baby. Okay, you get through that time. You might start to have more time together and connect again. And then the kids move out. And then you're like, who are we without our kids? And have we really sat down and had these deep conversations? So I think these are really valuable episodes to listen to keep your relationship strong.
I think that's so important, Lisa. I loved those episodes that you did with Allison. You know, so often I think with relationships, we realize that it can be hard work, but we don't necessarily know what exactly to do or how to support our relationship to make sure that it's really thriving, because there's always this idea that, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it, or wait until things are really broken and then put the work into it, where I really love the idea of really doing some proactive work, as well as looking at, the idea of the different seasons, because things aren't always going to look the same when you're in that relationship as well. And especially looking at making sure that there is that self-care, and self-care being a huge piece of, you know, what it looks like to really have your relationship thrive as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. And when I look at self-care over the past couple of years, I definitely think back to a a couple of episodes that I've done on pelvic floor health and pelvic health. And one of them was on episode 34 with personal trainer Amy Cooper. That idea of really taking care of ourselves and our pelvic health, not just saying, okay, you know, we've had kids and things aren't maybe working the same, or there's symptoms, we don't need to avoid them. It's important not to avoid those kind of things. And there are steps to take on a regular basis to make sure that your pelvic health is where you want it to be. The one thing that I always keep in my mind from that episode that I talked about with Amy was the rule of three P's. And when it comes to pelvic health, that's, you know, their three P's are really red flags that you want to watch for when it comes to your pelvic health. And if the three P's are coming up, it's time to really look at some support, really look at seeing a pelvic health physiotherapist. And the three P's are changes in peeing, pooping, or passing gas.
You said pee and poo, my son would be that laughing so loud right now.
Yes. And yes, that's important to look at for your kids, but it's also important to look at for yourself. Changes in pain, especially if you are experiencing any pain with sexual intercourse, and also changes in pressure and really looking at any changes in the pressure around your core and your abdomen. So those are definitely things to look at. And especially, you know, when we are connecting with partners, we can be a little self-conscious. And that's where Amy shared a link to an incredible blog. It's the Privates Investigator blog that was written by Haley Chevener. And it's fantastic for really seeing what genitalia can look like and to really make sure that you understand what you're seeing if you dare to take a look at your own vulva. So again, just taking your self-care to another level, which could also really increase your confidence and change the way you're able to connect with your partner, as well as your own self-care.
I love that episode too. Yeah, it's something a lot of women neglect, right? They're like, things are changing down there. I had a baby, or I'm going through perimenopause and menopause. That's the way it is. Okay, I'm not going to be able to enjoy myself as much. I'm going to be more self-conscious or worried about things happening that I don't want to happen, but it doesn't have to be that way, right? There are tools, and not a lot of women are aware of pelvic floor physiotherapy or support for vaginal health that naturopathic doctors can offer outside of the pelvic floor physiotherapy.
Absolutely. And oh, and just before, you know, I let you talk about another one of your episodes that you like, Lisa, that also really ties in with episode 34 that I did on holistic pelvic care with Dr. Kate Hadfield, who is a naturopathic doctor who is trained in doing holistic pelvic care. Just the idea of really reclaiming our pelvic area, not just for our sexuality, but also as a center for our creativity and our power as women. I really loved talking to Kate about these ideas of really rethinking the language around our bodies and what we've experienced in our bodies, the power of really healing from trauma and recovering and reclaiming ourselves and our pelvic area. I thought was really powerful as well.
Definitely. Yeah. So go check those episodes out and start to support yourself in those areas. And then I'll get into an episode that's also along the lines of self-care, but this wasn't really a topic we covered, but I know some of our guests, you know, were giving themselves, I loved how some guests said they were giving themselves the gifts of not having alcohol for a year. And Larissa McCooch was one of those guests. And, you know, I usually do like a cleanse or cut out alcohol and sugar for a period of time, several times a year. year, but starting last March, I just kept going. So I think that's been one of the best things I've done for myself, because I used to think self-care was happy hour and wine, and maybe it'll get back to that. But then I was thinking to myself, you know, self-care is feeling good the next day, is having, you know, my energy and my focus there, having a good night's sleep and not being snappy or short because I had a few drinks and I kind of feel crappy the next day. So it's been 8 months since I haven't had any alcohol, and I'm not saying I'm never going to have it again, but it's a gift that I'm giving to myself right now. And it's been the best form of self-care to support my sleep. I have better blood sugar balance, you know, more stable moods. Of course, I still have my ups and downs, but I don't blame it on alcohol. And it's definitely less frequent than it was before. And it's forced me to look at a new way of relaxing, a new way of celebrating, a new way of marking the weekend. And it's still a work in progress, because believe me, I walk by bars and see people having happy hour and people around me are still drinking. And I miss it in that moment. But man, the next day I'm like, oh, I feel so great. It's totally worth it. So that's where I'm at right now. That was one of the biggest self-care things I did for myself over the last little while. And then we also need to think about how we talk to ourselves, right? I know in perimenopause, a lot of us really get down on our body and the changes that are happening with, you know, weight changes or weight gain. And we did have such an amazing guest. It was episode 91 with Confident Kayla Marie, where it was about body confidence. And she was talking about, you know, there's the body positivity movement. And people hear that and they're like, well, I can't go from where I'm at right now to saying I love my stomach and I love my cellulite. But she wasn't talking about that. She was talking, first of all, about having body neutrality. So recognizing we are more than our physical appearance, which is hard sometimes to believe as women, because, you know, from the age of when we were young girls, it was like, oh, you look so good, or oh, you, that dress looks awesome on you, or oh, you look so slim. A lot of our worth can be tied to our appearance. But she talked about having, you know, this body neutrality where you appreciate your body for what it does for you. And yes, you might not love your stomach, you know, maybe things are a little bit looser than you want it to be, but recognizing, well, my uterus and my stomach, this allowed me to have, you know, a child, and I'm so grateful for my body. And then eventually maybe getting to the place where you're like loving aspects of your body and, oh, I love my ankles. They're nice and thin, or I have really strong thighs. So really appreciating that, but carving in time every day to start to foster that body positivity or the body confidence, at least, whether it's when you look at yourself in the mirror naked before or after your shower, really zoning in on the areas you like, as opposed to like zoning in on those areas where you're like, oh, let me see what my stomach looks like, or oh, look at my breasts, they're a little bit saggy. Or for me, in my journal now every day, I'm writing down something that I love about my body. So it might not be always about the appearance, it might be about, you know, strength, or you know, how I can breathe really deeply or run fast, whatever it may be, but just shifting the conversation and really appreciating our bodies for what they do for us, and not having it be about acceptance from other people or looking a certain way. And it's okay if things change, right? We don't have to look like our 20-year-old self or even our 30-year-old self. So that really stood out for me.
I love, really love that conversation, Lisa. Absolutely. As we are getting older, our bodies will change. And it's something that we all have to go through. And to be able to have some strategies and a practice to really, truly accept and love ourselves is really key. So I really loved that episode as well. And really, like, Lisa, congratulations on what you've taken on when it comes to going alcohol free.
Oh, thank you. For a lot of people that know me, they're probably like, what? If I could do it, you guys can. Not that I drank a lot, but, you know, university days, naturopathic college days, ironically, you know, I had my fair share of drinks, right, Tony?
For sure. And it's one of those things where it's still so common and a given in our society of drinking alcohol. And it can be, seem a little strange when someone isn't drinking alcohol or abstaining. And so the fact that you're taking that on for your own self-care and your health is awesome. I love that.
Well, thanks, Tony. And hopefully I don't sound preachy because, you know, to each their own. I don't tell people not to drink, but that's where I'm at. And that's what's feeling good for my body right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny that you've taken on that piece in terms of alcohol. What I've shared just more recently in episode 97 around vitamin D was I made a confession that around my vitamin D status that I found that I was vitamin D deficient. And I had probably been vitamin D deficient for a while, for months. It even took me a while to actually look at my results. And so when I think back on this past year, 2021, it was not an easy year to go through. And I did have some health challenges around mood and how I was feeling in my body, extra pain, migraines that popped up over the summer. And it was really after we had done that episode, Lisa, where we looked at all of the amazing research around vitamin D, that I really looked at how my vitamin D deficiency was really impacting how I was feeling during the year. And with bumping up my vitamin D status, again, you know, we go through different seasons and different, you know, we go through ups and downs in our life. That's completely normal. But really, since adding more vitamin D back into my life, I'm really feeling much better. So it's one of those factors to really look at in terms of mood, in terms of feeling how you're feeling physically in your body, levels of inflammation and pain. And what's also really still blowing my mind about that episode is the research that I found on vitamin D supporting the epithelial cells in our vaginas. There was, you know, research on how a vitamin D suppository reduced vaginal dryness and pain in women who were experiencing postmenopausal vaginal atrophy. So it's like, wow, vitamin D can do so much. I love it.
And yeah, I really love that you shared that too, because we can all, like, something can fall off our radar, right? And it's just a reminder, okay, see a professional, see a naturopath to kind of review everything, do some testing. And something as simple as taking vitamin D can be game changing, right? Because it is a pro hormone and you notice so many differences. And when you told me about that study with the vaginal vitamin D, I thought that was mind-blowing too, right? Because it's something that's not usually looked at, but it's just reinforcing how we do need the appropriate levels for hormones in all areas of our body.
Absolutely, for sure. And it's also one of those things that, you know, came up to a certain extent when I was talking to naturopathic doctor Taylor Bean around vaccine optimization in episode 58. I really loved how she shared around her individualized approach to immune support and immune support when it comes to vaccines and immune support when it comes to nutrition as well, and looking at how supporting your immune function can really help when it comes to any use of vaccines and really making sure that your body is using any vaccines that you're taking in so that you really get the most out of it.
Definitely. No, that was a really great episode as well. So she shared so many valuable pearls for parents who, you know, decide to vaccinate or spread it out or do their own thing. So definitely check that episode out. And then we did an episode on nutrition back on episode 10, and we didn't specifically talk about intermittent fasting, but, you know, it's been a hot topic. And just from my personal experience, I wanted to share about that. And I started intermittent fasting, I guess it was summer last year. And at first I felt good. I was able to focus well. I didn't get that energy dip in the afternoon. But by the end of this year, I started to notice that when I came to have snacks or dinner, like I wasn't eating until lunch. I would eat like during an 8-hour window from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. I would have lunch, then I'd have an afternoon snack and dinner. But I started to notice I was overeating, where I'd feel so full and disgusting after my afternoon snack and after dinner. And I think my body signal started to get messed up, and my body was, you know, thinking, okay, you're not giving me food the rest of the day. Now that you have food here, you're just going to consume as much as possible. And I actually noticed my thyroid got even a little bit slower. My medication, my desiccated thyroid, wasn't working as well. So now I'm eating something for breakfast. I usually do about a 12 or 14 hour overnight fast. And then I eat over like a 10 hour window, sometimes 12 hours, depending on where I am in my cycle. But I find now I have way better, you know, I'm able to listen to my body now and feel satiated and not overeat at that afternoon snack or dinner. And my thyroid's actually doing a lot better, even with the same dose of the desiccated thyroid. So it's interesting because we get these ideas, and, you know, in the perimenopausal world, so many women are concerned about weight gain and they want to lose weight by eating keto or intermittent fasting, you know, and maybe there's a time and a place for some of these, depending on your hormones and your cycle. But a lot of these have been studied in males who don't have obviously the same hormone profile. But if it worked for someone, it doesn't mean it's necessarily going to work for you, right? So I think it's really listening to your body, and we're moving more towards intuitive eating, which we've had several guests talk about that on the episode and on the podcast, and we can link to them. But Christina Tejoces, a nutritionist, she talked about that during our love-led nourishment episode. We had Jay Baum, she's a dietitian, and she talked about fostering intuitive eating in our kids. So we really want to listen to our body and not always follow these structured rules or dogma, right? It can be really challenging, but that's where I'm moving more towards nutrition. And I feel like that's just benefiting my hormones, my energy, my thyroid, my overall health, and even enjoyment with food as well.
That's really key to be aware of how, yeah, there's different ideas around different diets, especially something like intermittent fasting is becoming more and more popular, but really recognizing it may not work for you as well as it works for someone else, or you need to make those tweaks and really individualize it and personalize it to you. Especially after that episode as well, something that I really looked at for myself is really getting into more of a routine of reducing eating and snacking at night. And then in the morning, really aiming for at least a 12-hour fast overnight. And that, I think, has really helped not only my energy, but also my metabolism. What has also, I really think, has helped me when it comes to my metabolism and just how well I felt with my body, especially around the middle, is really looking at my gut health. And we did an episode on gut health again, way back, where we talked a little bit about some of the nutrients that can really help to support our gut lining and reduce leaky gut. And, you know, I made a point of increasing that kind of support and really found that it really made a difference, not only with my regularity and my bowel habits, but also how my body felt and how I felt around my middle as well. So those have definitely made a huge impact for me. As well, looking at, you know, taking in that kind of information and really looking at those little shifts that I could make to make sure that I'm feeling my best instead of, again, just following any kind of dogma or rules, Lisa.
Definitely. We look at individualized medicine and naturopathic medicine and optimizing body systems like the gut and having the right bacteria. And we know that, you know, you'll feel more bloated if you have bad gut bacteria, more bad than good in your gut. If you're eating the wrong foods for your system, that's not going to feel good in the midsection. But we also know those microbes, those gut bacteria, are involved in our detoxification as well. So I think, you know, it's putting all of these pieces together and getting all your ducks lined up in a row, for lack of a better analogy. I don't know if I've ever used that one before.
I don't think you have, but
Oh, and then are there any episodes for you that stand out about kids? I have one I can think of if you want me to go.
Go for it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, talking about partners too, this can be applied to partners, which I think I'm actually going to start doing, but it's called Golden Time. So this was a concept that Tia Slidham developed. She's a parenting expert, parenting coach too. This was episode 60. So it's talking about, she was talking a lot about how devoting certain time with your child and actually being present and connected with them will help translate into easier bedtimes, less tantrums, because really ultimately our kids want our attention, right? And how many times are kids saying, oh, come play this game? And we say, oh, just in a few minutes, I got to finish cleaning, or, oh, I just have to send out this email. Okay, I'll be there soon. And then when we're with them, we might still be checking email or not fully present because we're thinking about all the things we have to do. So Tia talked about actually setting 10 minutes aside every morning and every evening. If it's a school day, on the weekends, you can have more time, you know, if you're probably going to have a bit more time depending on your routine, but actually allowing your child to pick what they want to do during those 10 minutes, you know, obviously within reason, not eat all the candies in the house or something like that, but that's not going to harm them. And then we as parents are show up, we're with them. We have no distractions. We're not even eating or drinking. We're just playing or being present with them. So I think that golden time is so valuable because then you're filling up your child's cup. They have some form of control, right? Because that's a lot of the angst comes from, where we're telling them what to do when. So this is their time to actually pick what they want to do and be in control. And this is actually a concept we can apply with our partners. So let's say you're stretched for time, setting aside 10 minutes twice a day to have your coffee or tea together in the morning and have a chat, or, you know, sit down and play a game or listen to some music in the evening. That can be good time together as well, even if you're feeling exhausted and like you don't have any time either. So check out episode 60 with Tia Slidham. She gives so many great parenting tips.
I love that episode with Tia. The idea of golden time has really stuck with me, as well as she had recommended a timer for kids that I'm, you know, just playing with Frankie, to really have them aware of, you know, setting limits and boundaries to like playing or even screen time, and really helping with transitions and helping them to get going when we need to get going. So that was such a fantastic conversation with her.
Definitely. We did get the timer too, and it has worked well. At first, he kind of wanted to throw it or break it, but now he actually listens to it, and it's not us telling him when the time's up. It's the timer. So, and it changes color, so they know what the different colors mean. Orange is like you have 5 minutes left, and red is, okay, now time is actually up. So that's a great thing to add into your routine.
Very cool, for sure. And then, you know, the last episode that really made a difference for me when in terms of my practice as a naturopathic doctor is the conversation, Lisa, you had with Penny Kendall Reed.
Oh, yes.
Looking at genetics and weight. That really was fascinating to me. I loved how you talked to her about how she really looks at those kind of markers of our genetic foundation and looking at the foundation for our health and really how it really provides some insight into our individual biochemistry, a hormone balance, looking at our potential propensity or chance of having higher levels of inflammation, or what's how we manage our mood, stress, and especially looking at hormone balance with liver detoxification. It's really made a huge impact on my practice now, ever since, you know, that episode, episode 57 back in January. I really love looking at my patients' genetic results right now. I love poring over that. And it really has given a lot of women in my practice a real sense of validation of how they've been feeling about themselves and how their bodies have functioned and, you know, different patterns that they have experienced. So that is another episode that has really made a difference for me. And I really invite people to go to the show notes, take a look at that conversation that you had, Lisa, to really look at, you know, what actually makes us all different and what makes you, you. Also really knowing that, you know, our genetics aren't set in stone. We can learn, and there's just more and more research on the field of epigenetics to turn on and turn off our genes. So it's not like our genetics are our destiny, and we can really look at what kind of support can drive our pathways forward to make things more efficient, to really not only support our physical health, but also how we feel in our bodies as well.
That was such a valuable episode. She shared so many amazing tips, and even just why certain people have, you know, a hard time losing weight or maintaining a healthy weight. So definitely go back and listen to that one.
Absolutely. Any other episodes that you wanted to share with everyone for this 100th episode, Lisa?
Well, there's so many, but I think I got the major highlights. I'm sure we're going to have to do this again, but I'm ready to move on to our super mom moment, which I think we're both going to share one each of our super mom moment, our mama mess up, and our mama must have, just to commemorate our 100th episode, right, Tony? Or was there anything else you wanted to share?
No, go for it, Lisa.
Okay.
Share with us a super mom moment.
Sure. So actually this Friday night, you know, I have this huge social calendar. I'm just joking totally, but I actually made an advent calendar for Stuart. So I had like a box that had, it was actually from a previous advent calendar, and I kept it. And then I put some of his Halloween candy in there. I bought some, you know, Play-Doh and stamps and things, and I put them inside there, and then I wrapped it and made little doors for each of them. So that was kind of fun because I'm not really a crafty person, but I had a lot of fun making it and decorating it. So it's not really Pinterest worthy, but you know, it's good enough. And I think he'll love the concept and have fun with it. So that's my super mom moment. What about you, Tony?
Oh, I love that, Lisa. You know, I'm not necessarily a crafty person either. And a real super mom moment for me in the past few weeks is I made a chore chart for Frankie. With stickers, just to keep things on track in terms of giving her a little bit more motivation around cleaning up and brushing her teeth and also making her bed. So nice. She actually started to make her bed by herself, which Woo-woo! Is really amazing, especially since half the time I don't make my bed by myself.
When can we like start to get them to make our beds, right? And to do our laundry. I can't wait for that.
Oh, I can't wait for that either.
That's definitely a super mom moment though. Yeah.
Thanks. However, that's kind of led and kind of blends into a mama mess up for me, because I don't, what I didn't really plan out when I made the chore chart was to really get uniform size stickers that really fit well on the chore chart that I made. And I haven't really been super consistent with using it in the past week or two. So, you know, that's where it's a work in progress. It's a practice. We'll get back into the chore chart.
It's still a super mom moment, right? I'm the same. I get these ideas. I start these things and then it kind of falls off my radar, but it's there. You can revisit it and reinstigate it. So I still love that.
Thanks, Lisa.
And my mess up has to do with not getting myself ready properly for an outing. So it's gotten really cold here in Toronto, and we still like to get outside and enjoy. And I thought it was warmer than it was on Saturday because, you know, the sun's shining and you're like, oh, it looks so nice out. So I actually opted to look a little more stylish than casual and warm like I normally do. So I was like, well, I'm going to wear this nice jacket I have, which isn't that warm, but I had a nice sweater underneath, but I had my Converse on. And we went to the Brickworks, where it's actually kind of windy there and it's cooler because it's a bit closer to the lake. I made sure that Stuart was dressed. He had backup warm clothes. He had his hat and mitts. But we got there and I was freezing. I haven't been that cold for a long time. We did go for lunch and we sat outside and ate, but we were shivering. Stuart, he ended up putting on all of the layers, so he ended up being okay. But I was just freezing. So at least I got a really good like hot chocolate and we walked around a bit, but we had to leave early because I just couldn't take it. And it did start to rain. So that was okay. But that was a mama mess up. I didn't plan for myself and have backup clothes, which I will do the next time.
Lesson learned.
Lesson learned. And forget, look, you try to look stylish. It's all about warmth and comfort. I learned my lesson.
There you go. Especially in Canada in, you know, November.
I know. What was I thinking? Anyway, and then what is your mama must have, Tony? What are you loving right now?
Well, I think, you know, especially you mentioned that we're going to make a top 10 list of our mama must haves and share in, you know, the near future. What has often been number one for me as a mama must have, especially this year, is the mushroom coffee with Lion's Mane by Four Sigmatic. I love it. I drank it this morning. It's not something that I use on a regular basis, but it can really give me a little bit of a boost and also a brain power boost with the Lion's Mane. So that's one that I really love and I often share with friends and patients as well.
Amazing. And I saw they just have a decaf one, which I'm going to try because I can't handle, you know, there's a less caffeine in that one, but I was still hesitant to have it too much. So I'm going to try their decaf one.
That is a great tip, Lisa. I will look for that as well.
Because yeah, I think it just came out. Yep.
Yeah. I definitely know from my genetics, I am caffeine sensitive. I'm a slow metabolizer of caffeine. So definitely having a lower level of caffeine that is in the mushroom coffee is great, but I'm definitely interested in trying a decaf as well.
Nice. I'll give it a go too. And we'll do a little review.
Sounds perfect. What's your mama must have for this week, Lisa?
Well, definitely another hot drink, especially after being so cold on the weekend. But I'm really loving, it's called Chaiwala Rooibos Masala Chai Tea. So I think it actually is a Canadian company and you should be able to get it out there too. But it's like a wet tea. So it has all the spices like cardamom and cinnamon and turmeric in there. And it's mixed with a little bit of honey. It's not too much. So you actually serve out a couple tablespoons. You boil it on the stove with some water or alternate milk. Sometimes I'll do almond milk or macadamia nut milk. You let it simmer for as long as you want. The longer you simmer it, the stronger it is. And then it's ready. You just strain it and you drink it. And it like makes you feel so warm inside and it's so tasty and it's not too sweet because I don't like things too sweet, but it's a real treat. You keep it in the fridge. And I think it really is a good alternative to those, you know, pumpkin lattes or what do they have now at Starbucks, probably like candy cane lattes and things like that. It's like hardly any honey, hardly any sugar in there, but still so tasty.
Oh, that sounds delicious. I love rooibos. I love chai. I'm definitely checking that out.
Awesome. Let me know what you think. They have a caffeinated one too with black tea, but this is what I usually have in the afternoon. So yeah, I haven't tried their caffeinated one, but I'm sure it's delicious too.
Great. And I love rooibos and that kind of natural sweetness from the rooibos too. So Awesome. A great tip. So thanks everyone for joining us today. And thanks for, you know, sticking with us through the past 100 episodes. We look forward to you joining us for another 100 episodes in the future. You can find our show notes on our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. You can also find our older episodes there as well. You can email us, connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love for you to subscribe, leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed our episodes, especially that helps other perimenopausal mamas find us as well. So stay safe and healthy, everyone.
Take care. And thanks for coming along this ride with us. We couldn't have done it without you. And we look forward to at least 100 more. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.